All right, what up, guys? We have a bonus episode of Ev Unleashed presented by Guy Boston Sports, and we have an awesome bonus episode for you today. It's lengthy, it's filled with content, it's filled with entertainment. You guys are going to love it. I know it. I know there's going to be a good response to this, so make sure you shout out to me and my guest on Twitter how much you enjoyed this show. My guest was Dante on Deck, Dante Toro. You know him. I don't even need to introduce him. But either way, we get into Celtics, we get talking some over-unders for, some of the prominent Celtics names, and we really just do something that's long overdue, me and him collabing on something. So let's get to that interview. Here we go. All right, we now welcome on Dante Toro, a.k.a. Dante on Deck on Twitter. Dante, I've seen a lot of tweets come my way asking to bring you on a show or do something with you, so pretty excited to finally have you on. I think we're going to be pleasing a lot of people with this. What's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. I'm very happy to be on. Like you said, a lot of people tweeted at us saying like we should do an episode together, and we jumped right on it, so I'm happy to get this thing going. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we didn't waste any time. So you can follow Dante at Dante on Deck on Twitter. I'm assuming you probably already do if you're listening to this, because he kills the Twitter game, absolutely kills it. Dante, anything else you want to tell people before we jump into the episode? You know, what do you got coming out? I know you got a few things in the works. Why don't you jump into those?
Yeah, so my name is Dante Toro, if you don't follow me. I am a Celtics personality on Twitter, at Dante on Deck. I write a report about the Celtics for WTP Sports, and I just started up my two very first video podcasts, Hoops Caviar, which is all basketball talk, and Chasing Banners, which is all Celtics talk. And I post those onto YouTube twice a week, Wednesday and Fridays. So if you want to tag along and watch those videos, make sure to follow me on Twitter and you can get those links. But I appreciate the compliment that you said earlier, man, about me being a Celtics Twitter guy. That means a lot. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, it's no lie, though. I think you know, too. You can't say it about yourself, I guess. But you can let other people say it about you.
No, you too, man. We all have one job, to put out great Celtics news and stuff, and you do a great job with that as well. Yeah. So that's why I was more than happy to accept the invitation to come on this show.
For sure, and it's an awesome space to be in, because at the end of the day, we're all talking Celtics. We all love the Celtics. Let's have fun with it.
Absolutely. Let's get into it, man.
Yeah, which is what we hope to do here. So I pulled sample size of Celtics Nation these past couple weeks. And Dante, we're going to go over some over-unders of, I guess we can assume, the Celtics starting five right now. We can jump into a couple more, and I'll tell you, can just answer these. You know, maybe first comes to mind, or you can defend it if you think necessary, but we can jump right into it. The first one is Jason Tatum, 19, and these are over-unders for statistics for the upcoming season.
Okay.
So Jason Tatum, 19.5 points per game this season.
I would say over. Honestly,
really?
I think that we're going to get a great year from Jason Tatum. I think he's going to make a huge jump, obviously, from his first to second year. His stats may have gone up a little bit, but, I mean, we didn't really see that jump that maybe we wanted to see of him being the second player to Kyrie on the Celtics. Mm-hmm. But now that, you know, Kyrie's gone, and I'm not saying any of this to bash Kyrie, but now that Kyrie's gone and Jason Tatum can kind of take that next step of maybe being a better leader, or take more command on the court. I think now that he has Kemba Walker as his starting point guard, that he'll have that chance to really show out this year. So I think he'll average more than 19.5 points per game.
Do you think he's going to get to 20?
Yes, yeah, I think it'll be right around the 20-21 range.
So my number for that, and so this is just, I guess, me being realistic. I can totally see Tatum scoring over 20 points a game. I'm really not saying that's not going to happen. I do think 19.5 is a pretty good number, because it is, you know, obviously Kyrie's gone, Kemba's a whole new thing, but it is a pretty significant jump from last year to, say, 20 points per game. And at the same time, too, I'm thinking, well, one, let's backtrack to what you said. I agree that Tatum's going to have the ball more. I think he's going to have a better role, because for starters, we never really heard Kyrie say, yeah, I'm going to play like a less efficient role, or not efficient, but a less ball-demanding role and do what we need to win. That's what Kemba said. He's ready to take on less of a scoring workload, which is great to hear your best scorer say. But as far as Tatum goes, the thing with him is I've seen now, you should have seen the responses to these tweets. I said over 19 points, and people are like, he needs to score 25, he needs to score 30. Celtics mm-hmm. fans were going crazy. Now let me spin off the question. If Tatum, and the number I have for Tatum is, say, you know, just over 18 points a game. If he doesn't score 20 points. I'm telling you, there were people saying that this is a failed season or the Celtics aren't going to stand a chance. And all I said is I'll take 18 points a game and way better basketball, more efficient basketball from Tatum and whatnot. Do you think he needs to score 20 points a game?
No, and I think you put it perfectly with what you said. I remember before Kemba Walker signed, and it was kind of like we were going with the expectation that we're just going to be building around Jason and Jaylen going forward, and that they'd be taking charge. They'd be taking all the shots. Yep. They have to take X amount of shot, 20, 25 shots a game. You don't need to shoot that much. You don't need to have the ball in your hands as much to be effective. It's not all about scoring the basketball. And I say he's going to score 20 points because that's, I think he just has the ability to do that. But if he doesn't, his first year, he averaged 13.9 points. His second season last year, he averaged 15.7. His field goal attempts per game went up 3. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many more jump shots you can possibly give him. Like, I'm thinking he can shoot around 15 to 18 times a game, but that's even a lot for someone
that
18 young.
Number's high. Yeah.
Yeah. So even if he shoots that much, he doesn't have to score 20. Even if he scores 18 and the Celtics are winning games, I feel it's more important if we have players on the team, if we have multiple players that are averaging double-figure points, like Kemba, Jaylen, Jason, Marcus Smart, Cantor. I feel like if there are more guys that are contributing to the scoring, you don't need to have two guys that are scoring 20-plus mm-hmm. a game. Totally. As much as I think Tatum's going to do it, you don't need that, if you know what I mean.
No, I think you're actually explaining it really well because I've seen it's this polar effect. People either think he's going to, you know, we're both thinking realistic. You're saying 20 because you realistically think he can score 20. That's mm-hmm. okay. I actually wrote an article about it a couple days ago saying the same thing. I was like, hey, if you still believe, I was giving my take on, you know, 18 points per game and whatnot. Yep. I said, if you still think he's going to score over 20, that's totally fine. As long as you're thinking of it, like, legitimately, like, as long as you think Tatum can score 20, not really
absolutely.
Tatum has to score 20. And that's the key word, because there's people with like the fire emojis and whatnot, just like literally going crazy. Like, Tatum needs to score. And I was like, you realize that we're not in the position, like you said, Dante, of, oh, Kyrie left and we didn't replace him. We did a pretty damn good job of replacing that scoring with Kemba Walker.
If anything, we replaced him with someone that, I mean, he had a better offensive year last year than Kyrie. I mean, statistically, you know what I mean? So it's like, and like going back to what you said earlier about people freaking out, if he doesn't average 20 points per game, it's a failed season, it's a failed year, this and that. Yeah. I could go over my mentions, all the people in my Twitter account all the time that say ridiculous things. Him not reaching a certain point marker or whatever it is doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean if it's a failed season. You make that judgment call based on how the team plays, not how one player plays. Just because Tatum doesn't average 20 in his third year at 21 years old, you can't say he hasn't reached expectations, he's overrated, because I know that will happen.
You know, absolutely. That the Sixers fans and the Lakers fans and fans out there will be like, oh, I thought you guys said he was going to average 30 this year.
Yeah, I know. And that's why we have to kind of watch our mouths. Like, I'm here saying, like, he can average 20 a game, but then, like, he can come out and average 18 and be like, oh, I thought you said he could average 20. And it's it doesn't. As long as the team's doing fine.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, everyone looks happy. Everyone looks like they're playing well together. They're playing as a team. That's the most important part.
That's the key. And I think we're also harping on it, too. Like, you know, not forgetting about Gordon Hayward, but Tatum could be that second prominent piece in the offense, and I'm sure he will in the scoring end. I don't know about, you know, the ball going through him and whatnot. We'll talk about Hayward in a little bit, but Tatum, at least, it's like he's if the team's playing well, it will mean that Tatum is playing well. Do you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
He's definitely a guy on the team that if the team's playing well, it means Tatum's playing pretty well.
And think about, I mean, this was 2 years ago, so I mean, it's kind of not like more recent stuff to go off of. But when the Celtics went on a 16-game win streak with the first year with Kyrie and Tatum was a rookie, mm-hmm. Tatum was shooting like 50-55% from three, like insane numbers. Like, and that the Celtics were playing. That's the best Celtics team we've seen in 2 years. You know what I mean? And it's like, it was because Jason Tatum was playing so well. So it's like you can imagine something like that happening again next year, where he's going to be 2021 and we have a better team. You know, it's like it could very well play through him and Kemba. I think Kemba's going to be the main guy to go to, but Jason Tatum isn't going to be too far behind, I don't think.
No, I totally agree. And like I said, Kemba's already come in and kind of said he's going to do what he has to do to win, rather than like he's always going to get his. And I know different time frames are looking like different things, but when we hear Kemba saying that, and then, you know, flash back to, you know, maybe towards the end of the season last year, Kyrie's out there saying like, oh, I can go score anytime I want, I can get mine. Little bit of a difference there, breath of fresh air.
Yeah, night and day.
Yeah.
Night and day.
All right, so let's move on to the other young stud, Jaylen Brown. And actually, so for that, you agreed with Celtics Nation, by the way. It was 67% over. So, like I said, people are hammering it, but I just hope there's more like you out there that are thinking like he can and you think he will, rather than, holy crap, this guy needs to, or we're screwed.
Yeah, no, that just, absolutely.
That's so uneducated.
No, that's far-fetched.
Let's move on to Jaylen Brown. I have Jaylen Brown right here. And again, these were just numbers. I'll be honest, I either used maybe some personal bias where I think they can do, or career numbers. So Jaylen Brown, 16 points per game, and no pushes. You can't take the number on the dot. I know that's can be a little unfair, but Jaylen Brown over under 16 points. I think this is this is one of the harder ones.
This is a hard one. I'm going to go under, but not by much, because his best year when in 2017, he averaged 14.5 starting. And then when he was in the playoffs, you know, he was averaging 18, 19 points per game. He was a monster. And then last year, you know, he took a step back. He only averaged 13. He came off the bench for a lot of that, though. Yeah. I mean, like we all saw.
Yep.
And he went through a lot last year. I can't see him making like, he averaged 13 last year. I can't see him making like a 3-4 point jump like that. I think he's one of those players that can contribute a lot to the team, not more on the defensive end, but he can contribute a whole lot more on defense, where it'll make up for his not low marks on offense. But, you know, if he averaged 15 points per game, people might think that's low, but hey, he might have been an incredible defender this year. So I think he's one of those guys that he can put up 15 points per game, but he'll be just as big on defense for us as maybe even someone like Marcus Smart. Like he'll impact the game more than one way, and doesn't just have to be on offense.
Totally agree. I think I'm taking under too. I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head with that 15 number. I think he's sort of the athletic guy that can do multiple things. And you know what? I'll say it right now. That might be an under from me saying Jaylen Brown's going to score under 16 points. I think he's going to score 15-ish, but I think he's going to be the guy that has plenty of nights where he goes off and will drop 25.
Absolutely. You know? And that's why I think last year I was saying the same thing about the team. I mean, when the year started off, Kyrie was awful and Tatum was basically the reason why Celtics were winning their first few games of the year. It's like, you don't need to have, like for this year, for instance, you don't have to have Kemba Walker scoring this many points for the team. We don't need to have Jayce Tatum. Different nights, different players can go off. Like there might be a night where Enes Kanter drops like 30 and 20. Like God knows what could happen. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that can happen.
And Jaylen
Brown, he is a player that has potential to score like upwards of 18, 19, 20 points per game. I just don't know if I see it now and in the situation that he's in. I think that will happen one day, but for now, I think the way he's going to play this year and everything is just going to be, he's going to be more focused on helping the team win in whatever way he can and not just putting the ball in the basket.
Which is kind of what we saw him do towards the end of it. When he started playing well, he started playing way better. And towards the beginning of the year, you know, we can remember, like, we'll be honest, Jaylen Brown wasn't really playing like we needed him to play. You know what I mean? Like he kind of got the sort of, I want to get my shots up, which so many guys did. So you can't really knock him for it. But then when he finally, towards the end of the year, when he started having some good games, it was because, hey, I'm catching fire. I'm also taking the shots that get me going. Like Jaylen Brown will take those fadeaways in the lane. And then all of a sudden he'll realize, okay, now I'm feeling it. Let me take a pull up mid range and he'll make it. But when he jumps into the game and starts off with this pull-up mid-range double covered, it's like, what? What are you doing?
Yeah, I know. He makes some moves that are like you scratch your head, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, he has the talent. It's just he needs to find his place on the team, and hopefully this year he does, because I feel like, you know, we kind of really pushed it to the side, but, like, everyone kind of found their way during that playoff run. A few years ago, and then Kyrie came in and Hayward came in, and it kind of messed everything up.
Yep.
So hopefully now that, you know, those headaches are gone and we don't have to worry about any drama, like hopefully he can be able to just settle in, find his role. And when he's playing well, like the team plays really well. Like we say with Jason Tatum, like when those two guys are on, like the Celtics are very, very good. So they just got to find their, their stride, and they just got to find out what works.
Really, and he's such a momentum guy for the Celtics too. Like one big dunk from
sure.
Jaylen, and
huge,
you're like, let's
huge
go.
Energy guy, yeah, huge boost.
Totally. So far we're over on Tatum, we're under on Jaylen, but really not for bad reasons. Like that's a pretty high number. I just wanted to tempt Celtics fans, and guess what, Dante? 59% say over. So that's
over. People okay. Are, I mean, 59. That's pretty close.
It is.
It's a little over, but yeah, I'll give it to him. It could go either way.
I could see that. Yeah, I could see that flipping.
I could definitely see him averaging 16. I would never hold that against. I would never say that he couldn't.
Oh, yeah,
I just don't think situational and everything like it. I'd be more realistic in saying under.
Yeah, I think so too. I hope people listening don't think that we are shitting on.
Yeah, we're not saying this because we don't like it. Like we're just being realistic.
Now this one's a tricky one. We got to Gordon Hayward here, who seems to be the forgotten child of this team. A guy that has, you know, really, I guess in a lot of people's minds, almost taken a step back. People are calling for his head. I'm not one of them. I believe you are a Hayward guy, too, a Hayward believer. And Gordon Hayward I have at, and it's a tough number, 17 points a game. He's a average 15 points per game in his career. Obviously, that's also taking into account the past two seasons, where he's averaged, now not to any fault of his own, but 2 points per game in one game in 2017 and 11.5 points per game last year. Now, this is a tricky one. I'll admit right off the bat, I do think this is a pretty high number for him.
Okay. What do you think? I want to hear your opinion first.
So now, I've been defending Hayward like you read about, or I guess
I'm very open about Gordon Hayward too. So don't think what if you're going to say anything ludicrous. Like no, I'm going to be open minded about it.
I think it's an over for Gordon Hayward this year, and I don't think it's any sort of takeover game. I don't think he's going to be taking over anything like that. I think he is the type of he's going to be, and it's really not a knock on him. I think he's going to be such a product of what is going on in the basketball court. I think he's going to take over that offense runs through me, type of role where it's not really like he's bringing the ball up or anything like that, but really like they'll get the ball to him on the elbow, things will set up, and it just he's gonna be I think Gordon Hayward's gonna have the ball in his hands a lot, and not always to score, but I think when you do have those opportunities with his skill, and you know, who knows if he's gonna shoot even better this year. I'm just a Hayward defender right now, and I think it's over. I don't know how much. Like I said, these numbers are pretty biased on like where I figured could be a good debating point. And I think it might, like I could see him doing like 17.000001, but just to get the over.
So it's 18 is the number.
Or just 18, over 17. So we can go decimals.
Oh, 17.
Yeah. Sorry. Yes. Number is 17.
I'm going to say, under, but it's kind of like Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
Not by much. I think if it's under 17, I think he's going to be right around high 15, 16. And I'm saying that because it's kind of like, you know, we still have a lot of talent on the team. So it's not like the ball needs to move around. And I think the ball is going to be in Hayward's hands a lot. Not just in the sense where he's going to score a lot. I think he's going to shoot a lot better this year. I think he's going to fit in with the team, with assist. I mean, I said when the summer going into Gordon Hayward's comeback before last year, I said Gordon Hayward's arguably going to be the best player on the team just because of how well he'll fit in the system. Like he can rebound, he can pass, he can move the ball in his hands. Doesn't have to have the ball in his hands. Like he can do a bunch of things. I think he's going to average 16 points per game, but I think he's going to see a huge increase in assists. I think he can average like 5-6 assists a game, honestly.
Yeah.
Because I think he's going to be, I mean, we losing Horford, you're missing a phenomenal passer. Like Horford averaged 5-6 assists a game, 4-5-6 assists. I mean, those aren't big numbers, but you're going to have to make those up somewhere. And I think Hayward can kind of fill in that role of what Hayward was, where he's kind of like, kind of bring the ball up the court, not the guard, but like a big forward 6'8" guy that can bring the ball up the court and get people open and move well with the ball. So I think I'm going to go under, but I think that's just because his assist numbers, I believe are going to go up. He averaged 3.5 assists last year. His career high is 5.2 assists. He got in 2013. I think he could easily pass 5.2. I think he'll get at least 5.2 assists, six assists a game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna argue there. I think we're thinking very similar things, and you have just a little bit different of a product. Like, and I agree with the assists. Like, I think this is going to be a very successful season for Hayward. Like, you know, with
I agree. Just, compared to last year, like just the bounce back year, like it's gonna be great.
Right.
I agree.
I think we're gonna finally have people believing in Hayward and being like, okay, you know what, he actually is like a former All-Star, a legitimate player, and I hope and I think he will. I think he's gonna get back to that money. Being worth the money. And like I said, that I prefaced this saying that was going to be a high number, that 17. If I was allowing pushes here, I literally would say I think 17 might be the number for me, and I think that's high.
Yeah.
But what would you guess that the votes dictated for percentage wise?
17, I would think it would honestly, I'd say it's like 50-50. I would put it there.
Spot on there, 51-49
really?
In favor of
okay.
over.
I was going to say.
He probably has
like
the tweet up in front of him. He's like, I can't be exactly right.
No. I swear, I have the stat page pulled up for Gordon Hayward. I was thinking, because there's a lot of people that do think he can go off for like 17, 18
it's
points
a game.
It's
clearly a silent majority there.
Yeah, and then again, there are people that don't think he's going to be playing as well as he did ever again coming off of that injury. Yeah. So you kind of have both sides of it. But I think, I mean, we're optimistic, obviously. Obviously, his injury was a freak thing, and he kind of just got pushed back, kind of rushed back into things. He never should have started last year. He should have definitely came off the bench and eased into things. I think having that whole year, just that experience of everything happening, having a whole nother summer to work on his recovery and other things to work on in basketball, working on a shot, whatever it may be, I think he's going to come out strong next year, and a lot of people are going to be impressed by how he plays.
Right there with you. And I think it is so... I mean, just from a personal standpoint of him, I feel like, you know, with this new team, the new look and everything like that, it's almost like a fresh start for him, even though obviously the same core is there, but no Kyrie, no Alec, no one looking over his shoulder per se. I know that's not like word for word what I mean, but it's almost like a fresh start. Like, this is such a different team. Now Hayward can be like, okay, you know what?
And forget about last year. And two, it's like you got Kemba Walker, and they were supposed to be teammates a few years ago.
Yeah.
So it's like they wanted to play together, and now that they are finally together, like we'll see how they play together. Let's see how they play off each other.
Definitely, definitely. And all right, we got a couple more here. Next, we're going to get to Kanter.
Okay.
And we'll do two. We'll run through his points and rebounds. So points, 13.5. I figured this was a high number, but this was after those other ones, and I was like, okay, are Celtics fans just being like huge optimists? Because we're hitting on overs on every single one of these. So I put Kanter out there at 13.5 points per game, which if you look at some of his better seasons, isn't all that crazy.
No, he's averaged 14 points some years. Close to 13, 15 one year. Yeah, no, it's definitely not far-fetched.
Even last year he played, I know he was injured, but even last year, I know he averaged right around that. So, Enes Kanter, 13.5 points per game. What do you think and why?
I'm going to say under, just because of the situation. I think, you know, he has put up great numbers before. He has put up high point total numbers in his career, but I think that was just because of the situation he was in. Like last year, he was on the Knicks and he was putting up 14 and 10. Like, he's on the Knicks, you know.
Right.
It's like, I'm not trying to like be a jerk to Knicks fans or anything, but like they didn't really have many people that could score the basketball.
No.
So that was his job. But now that he's on the Celtics, I think his role is to kind of, he's not going to be a scorer. He's not going to be a guy that's like a top three option to score the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be someone that whose main focus is to get rebounds, play somewhat good defense. I know he's not a great defender, but I think the system, Brad Stevens' system, everyone will kind of help him. And honestly, learn to develop a shot, spread the floor a little bit. I think he's going to put up at least 10, 11 points per game. But I don't think he's going to be putting up 13 a game. I just can't see him having that many games where he's going to like put up high numbers. I just think there are going to be other players that are going to be not taking the shots away from him, but probably should be taking the shots over him.
They deserve the shots more than him, for sure. Celtics fans did agree with you, 62% on the under. And you mentioned if he's going to develop a shot. I don't know if you saw the video he tweeted out. He's been working on his jumper. How about
that's
that?
In the works. I'm fine with that. I mean, yeah. Hey, if it's going to be somewhat, you know, I don't want him launching it.
Yeah,
he's going to be missing 2-3 times a game. But hey, if he's open and he's hitting them, then why not?
I know. It's like turkeys coming
kind of like
fast.
Kind of like Aaron Baines.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with Baines. Baines was when he was on, it was awesome. Then all of a sudden, he's like got this confidence. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you're not actually a shooter.
Then he would be throwing up some shots, and I'd be like, okay, this can't be. This can't.
I know.
Be
it's like, all right, we do have to realize, like, know your role, dude. Like,
yeah.
He's probably looking around. He's like, everyone else is trying to do it. I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, I'm open. Why not?
Yeah. All right. So Kanter, 19.5 rebounds per game. What do you think here? Or 19?
Wait,
no, sorry, 9.5, not
okay,
19.
I was gonna say 19.
That's an over, right?
9.5. I'm gonna say over.
I like that.
I'm gonna give him a little, either right before 10 or a little over 10 rebounds per game. Because I think that's one issue the Celtics have always had, mm-hmm. like for the past few years, and Al Horford never really answered. Was the solution to the rebounding problem because he was only like 6-7 rebound per game guy. Mm-hmm. Kanter he's made for getting rebounds. Like that's like one of his best skills is being around the rim, getting rebounds, offensive, defensive rebounds. So I think he's going to be a monster on the glass, and that's going to be huge for the Celtics. And if the Celtics are if people are shocked that the Celtics are so good next year, it's going to be because of Enes Kanter and how he helps our team like get second chances and push the ball when he gets defensive rebounds and push the fast break.
Totally agree. I'm over there with you too, and I'm just so pumped too, and I'm pretty confident in this one. Could be wrong, obviously, but pretty damn confident in it. I cannot wait to see a Celtics player averaging double-digit rebounds when it's like been
honestly,
a problem for years, even back to the Isaiah Thomas days.
I don't know if I can count on my fingers how many double-digit rebound per game guys there were in my lifetime on the Celtics.
Yeah, crazy.
It's like the past few years we've never had anyone that could like rebound the ball that well. Like we had Jared Solinger who was good on rebounds, but that was like that was it. Like we never had anyone getting like 12, 13 boards, you know what I mean?
I know. Oh my god.
And Jared Solinger isn't really anything to be proud of.
Yeah, I wouldn't boast that name around and be like, "Hey, we had one of those guys." It was Jared Solinger.
Yeah, we had him for a few years.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think that that's going to be awesome, and it's like that's always, you know, maybe for more, 4 or more years it's always been sort of a fallback of, oh, got beat on the boards again tonight, blah blah blah, even no matter mm-hmm. what's happening in the game, you know, you could always say they got killed on the boards. And hopefully Kanter, obviously Poirier too, like hopefully we're gonna see some sort of just rebounding ability. Like he led the talking about Vincent Poirier led the what EuroLeague in rebounds too. Like they saw a concern and they addressed it.
Yeah, I'm happy they did that. You know, they lost Al Horford, but they replaced that position. They put in guys that can, you know, not every, like Kanter, Poirier, Theis, Robert Williams, all mm-hmm. these guys, they bring different things to the table. And, you know, rebounding, defense, passing, whatever it may be. And I think they're all going to be great fits on the Celtics. And they're going to be a huge plus for us, especially in the rebounding category like we've been talking about.
I'm super excited for Vincent Poirier. I think he's going to be sort of a guy like now I don't think he's going to be, you know, he's not going to go win MVP, but I think he's going to be a guy like Daniel Theis, only better, where all of a sudden no one really knew Daniel Theis and he came in, and not to say that he's actually like Daniel Theis is good, that's the word, but like he's not going to he's not going to go crazy. Yeah. He's not going to go crazy on the stat sheets or anything like that, but he's all of a sudden going to be like, "Oh, he can play.
He's a quality rotational player." And I think that's what Poirier is going to be too. He's only 25.
Yep.
He's athletic as hell. He averaged like a block or two a game. Good rebounder. Got some points. He's got sleeves. I think he's awesome.
I think that's the big best attribute.
I'm a huge fan.
Yep. No, I'm there with you. I think so too. All right. Let's. We got two more here. Kemba Walker. Now, Kemba Walker has obviously averaged a number of points per game over his career. I believe last year was around 25, maybe 20 over just under 26.
Under 26. Yeah.
So I have Kemba, and now obviously I'm putting a little bit of weight into him saying he's not going to have to score as much. Kemba Walker, 23.5 points per game. And then I have assists for him. I'll throw a double whammy at you here. Assists for Kemba Walker at 5.5, which is exactly his career average.
Okay.
So let's start with the points, 23.5.
For points, I'm going to go under, but I'm going to say 23 flat.
Okay.
I think that's a good number for him. And I'll explain why after I do the assists too. And for assists, 5.5, I'm going to say over. because I think he can get upwards of six, seven
Yep,
assists
they're
a
both
game
kind of
this year.
working off each other there, right?
So kind of like you said, like we're kind of not expecting him to score 26 points per game because he doesn't have to score 26 points per game. Like a lot of people are saying when we signed Kemba, like this guy shoots 21 times a game. Like he always has to have the ball in his hands. Like he's always shooting. It's like, bro, like
look
he
at
was in Charlotte for 8 years. Like who the hell did he have with him in Charlotte? I looked at the stats. The highest point per game teammate he's ever had was Al Horford, that averaged Al Jefferson, who averaged 17 points per game, and that was in Kemba's like first two, three years in the league, and that's when Jefferson was still had some game in him.
Yeah,
and like you just look at the situation he's been in, the teams he's been on. He's made the playoffs twice, and he's gotten beat in the first round twice. It's like that organization has done nothing to help him. They've done nothing but surround him with bad contracts of guys that, you know, underperform or can't trade them because their contracts are so bad. So it's like, of course Kemba's going to shoot 20 times a game. Of course he's going to put up those numbers. Who else is? But now that he's on the Celtics and, you know, he made the comments from his press conference about, you know, him not having to do all the work and stuff. And that's what's going to happen. He's not going to have to score that much. Like, he's going to have, like, there are going to be games where we're going to have to rely on him to maybe score, like, in the clutch, because he is a very clutch player, very great player at the end of games. And there are going to be some games where he might have to score 30 points per game, but it's not going to be like that for the most part. You know, I think Kemba Walker is just going to be that guy that kind of comes in and does what he has to do. Like, the ball's not going to be in his hands all the time. The ball's always going to be moving. He's a great off-ball guy. He can find him open, catch and shoot threes. And I think he's going to average more assists. He averaged 5.5 assists per game in Charlotte for his career. Mm-hmm. And like we said earlier,
which is a wonder.
Teammates.
Yeah. How did he even
do that? Yeah, exactly. Like that's for me, like I'm looking at that, like, damn, like that's pretty high
like
for someone that didn't
really
have
like
that
10.
Good of teammates. But now that he has guys like Brown, Tatum, hey, even though Hayward's still going to get a good amount of assists, Hayward, Cantor in the paint, like he's got options now on offense next to him where he doesn't have to do everything on his own. He can dish the ball
Seriously.
Off to someone and they can take care of it. I think Kemba Walker is just going to be the ultimate team player this year. I think he's 29 too. And I think he realizes he's at the point of his career where it's like his championship window is, it's not closing, but like it's open now, but it's not going to be open for much longer. And he came to Boston to win. He didn't come to Boston to mess around, to put up numbers. Like he came here to win, and he's coming in with that mindset that he's going to have to do whatever he has to do to win. And that's what's going to happen. And you just got to hope that it works out.
Yeah. And again, like it's been such a breath of fresh air. I know we all thought Kyrie was going to work out too. Like he was saying all the right things and whatnot, but Kemba just, there's something different about it. Maybe it's because, you know, Kyrie was leaving and all of a sudden we're like, oh geez, what's going to happen? And then we get a guy that correct me if I'm wrong here, but do you like the fact that he's 29, given the fact that Tatum and Brown are younger? I almost like that it's like a three-year jump start to, all right, we have Kemba at 29, but now the passing of the torch is going to make more sense, whereas it was always going to be
absolutely.
Kyrie's team with those guys. So
I think it makes sense that we got someone that was in his prime and not someone like, for example, not saying that we could have got him or we were looking at him, but like let's say someone like D'Angelo Russell.
Yep.
Like instead of giving the money to a kid, like I love D'Angelo Russell, and I'm not saying I wouldn't have wanted him on the Celtics if the situation was right, but I think I'd much rather give that money and give that position to someone that has experience. Even though he hasn't made it far in the playoffs, he's been to the playoffs, he's averaged a good amount of points per game in his career, and he wants to win. You know, he's not one of those guys like maybe Russell would want to come in and just put up his averages, blah blah blah, but Kemba is here to win, and I think that's what's going to make him great. I think that's what's going to make everyone love him. He said at the end of his press conference, he was talking to A'Sherrod Blakely and Brian Scalabrine. And he was like, listen, like, I can't wait to talk to these guys, Tatum, Brown, and Smart, about the playoffs and what it takes to win. Because he knows, like, Jason Tatum in his first year made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 7, might I add, one game away from the finals. He's made it farther in 1 year than Kemba has his entire career. So
Crazy.
It's, like, just him right away, like, picking up and saying that, like, I'm going to learn from these guys, even though they're 6, 7, 8 years younger than him. He's so humble and he just wants to get better by learning from his teammates, whether they're younger than him or not. Like you would never hear Kyrie say something
never.
Like that, you know, and I'm not like still trying to bring him up or anything, but like, it's true. It's like, it really is night and day. Like we said earlier, like they're two very different people. They're similar players, but they're two very different people. And I think Kemba Walker is going to do wonders in Boston.
Yeah, he's already adopted the culture, it seems. The fans have adopted him. It's awesome. So we got one last over-under, and then I do want to just quickly touch on Kyrie. Last over-under is Marcus Smart. Over-under, 100 steals per game.
100 over.
Yeah, I think that might be the biggest lock that we've even done.
All right, his grit and grind, his hustle mentality, everything about him. I love when people talk crap about Marcus Smart and they just don't know what they're talking about, because you have to watch this man. He averages 9 points per game in his career. I get it. He hasn't shot the ball that well throughout his career. The last year was pretty well. He did pretty good for himself.
Yeah.
Overall, not that great. But like, you just have to watch. Like, we have the luxury of watching him play every game, and just, he doesn't have to score. He doesn't have to put up these stats. Just his presence on the court is what makes him so important to the team. And that, out of all the players that could have gotten traded from the Celtics, you know, I would have been more pissed off if Marcus Smart gotten traded over anyone else, because I know if we traded at least, like, you know, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown for someone else, I know we'd be getting a star in return.
Right.
But like, someone like Marcus Smart, like, there is some things about him, like, you can't teach that. Like, his mentality, the winning plays he makes diving on the court.
Like, they don't even show up on the stat sheet, literally. It sounds like a cliche.
You can't teach that.
It sounds like a cliche, but it's the truth.
It doesn't show up on the stat sheet, and people that don't watch the games don't realize that, but he really is a phenomenal player, and you need a player like him to compete and win championships. So that's why I love him, and that's why I'm saying over 100 steals.
I'm with you. I literally think that's the biggest lock. Like that Houston Rockets game, what, a couple years ago, in where he took the back-to-back charges prior to the ball being inbounded. It's like no one that didn't watch that game, they don't understand that.
Dude, so that night I was watching with my friends, and they were down, and the Celtics went down as much as they did, and we started playing pickup basketball, but we had like a TV in the next room over, so I kept like checking in on it, and like, every few minutes, I was like, guys, like, it was 30, now it's 25. Oh, it's 20. Oh, yeah. It's 15. I'm like, and all of a sudden, it was like 5 points in the fourth. And I was like, all right, guys, like, we got to watch this. And then Marcus Smart taking two charges, bro, like, that's just something you can't teach that. That's just special. That's heart. And you got to love someone like that.
It's crazy. And I love the way you put it, that, you know, it's just a pleasure watching him, because I can't imagine not really knowing that. You know what I mean? Like, imagine if we never saw Marcus Smart outside of college. It's like, what? Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, let's start to wrap things up. I do want to touch on, obviously, the elephant in the room with, I'm sure people want to hear your and my thoughts together on Kyrie Irving.
Yep.
I asked you before we pressed the record button a little bit, because I know that you do love Kyrie the player, or like Kyrie the player.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but obviously he just absolutely, you know, bent us over, not even just him leaving, but like, for what he told the fans, what he acted like was going to happen. He keeps saying, don't worry, we're going to win in the playoffs. Wait till the playoffs. What is your just overall like feeling on Kyrie Irving? And you can segment it. You can say you like him, but then give that. So go ahead.
You know, I will never say anything bad about him as a player, because I think he is I think he's a phenomenal basketball player. I think he's the second best point guard in the NBA behind Steph Curry. I think he's a top 12, arguably top 10 player in the NBA. But as a person, man, for the people listening, to anyone that's been following me on Twitter, you know I'm a very optimistic person. I like to think about the positives and not the negatives. And all year with Kyrie Irving, he's going to come back, and then he's saying things in the media. I'm like, no, like, he's fine. Like, just wait. And like, I was one of those persons, like, wait till the playoffs. Like, he's just saying this
one
stuff
of the last
now. Like,
one off the ship.
Everything will work out.
Yeah.
I really hope Kyrie Irving learned a lesson from this past year, because he did everything the absolute worst way you possibly could.
Yep.
You, as an athlete, as anyone that has the platform that he does, as great as it was to hear at the time, never should he have ever said a year in advance that he was going to re-sign with Boston, because like we saw, anything could happen in a year. Like, he had such high expectations, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to come back. Like, it's going to be great. We're going to win championships. And then this year happened, and then he's just gone. I think he hurt his image very, very badly, just from the things that he was saying. The playoffs, like, I can score you'll never see me shoot 8 for 22 again, or like, who cares if I'm shooting this bad? And he goes out and plays awful in the playoffs.
Yeah.
he just did everything the wrong way. And like, I would, it's tough too, because I would, I'm not going to say like, I would make that trade again, 10 times out of 10. Like if there was, if that trade was on the table, Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie Irving right now, I would make that trade because that's a smart trade. You have to make
without,
that trade
without knowing this happens.
Without knowing what would happen. Like you got to make that trade because of the talent, but it, you know, some things just don't work out. And this was one of those things. And it sucks because like, I wish Danny Ainge knew earlier. I wish Kyrie Irving kind of, cause we heard Spencer Dinwiddie said like Kyrie said that talking about going to New York in December. Like, I wish he said something to Danny Ainge, or Danny Ainge could have done something about it. Like, he probably didn't want to say anything because he didn't want to get traded, blah, blah, blah. But it just sucks that he knew for a good amount of time that he was going to leave, and he kind of gave up on the team, and he kind of gave up on everyone and didn't give us a heads up. Like, that's the crappy part of it. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, we got Kemba now. So it's like I can't really hold any hard feelings against Kyrie. It was 2 years when we had him. It's not like he was here for a few years and he left. He left us high and dry, but we got a replacement. So yeah. I'm just trying to forget about him. I think Kemba Walker is going to be 10 times better than Kyrie was in Boston. So I'm just looking forward to the future.
I know. Finally, we get to just now watch the Celtics game.
No more drama.
And
no more
not have to spin it positively or you know, just pretend. Not pretend. That's not the word I'm looking for. But like I know just from a social media aspect when I'm liking the team, like Isaiah Thomas days these past few years, actually, I guess you could argue that the playoff run with the young guys was just as compelling, but in terms of like, you know, tweets and interactions like that, it's awesome when the Celtics are obviously, I'm not really, you know, breaking news here, but when the Celtics are fun to watch and they're also performing, you know, well, like not just they're fun, they're not a fun team and they stink. No, they're a fun team that is also really, really good. There's nothing like it. It's literally like a drug to me.
No, it is, because it's like, it sucks because like for me, like some people like us, like, you know, like it's the Celtics, like the basketball is my life. Like that's what I love to talk about. Mm-hmm. I love talking about anything basketball, anything Celtics. So it's like seeing, like, I'm one of those guys, I will watch every single game from beginning to end, like no matter who they're playing, no matter who's out, whatever, I'll watch every single game. And damn, man, last year they made it hard to watch a lot of the games and just everything that was going on. It was just such a headache. And it's like, you didn't know what was going on. Like people like, oh, wait till Kyrie leaves. And like me, obviously I was like, no, he's not going to leave. Like this, like it'll work out. Like we just got to give it more time. And we saw what happened, so it is what it is.
You just gotta
learn to forget.
Yeah,
whatever.
I'm
more
spot
heartbroken
on that.
About Al Horford leaving than Kyrie leaving.
Yeah, true. At least
that
least,
was that was more of a heartbreaker for me.
And going to the Sixers,
especially seeing him go to the Sixers, and that's another thing. I will never boo him because Al Horford was great in Boston. I always loved him. He never did anything wrong. Always said the right things. Mm-hmm. Said the right things. But going to Philly, damn, man.
I know.
Like, that.
Like, we heard the teams like the Mavericks and whatnot. It's like, okay, fine. Like, go get yours. Yeah. Go get your money and whatever. But, I know. But I'm not going to blow
him either. He still got his money. Like, good for him. Mm-hmm. But Sixers, like, ugh. That's such a tough one.
And it's going to be so hard seeing him come and play against Celtics.
Oh,
and he's going to do these little things.
I can't even imagine him wearing a Sixers jersey at the Garden. That's just going to, I'm going to want to throw up when I see
know,
that.
Seriously. But, yeah, so, Dante, thanks for joining us today. That was awesome.
Absolutely, man. I'm super happy we finally got to do this. We had a great talk, so hopefully we can do this again soon.
Yeah, maybe we can check in on these over-unders at some point, too, as the season progresses, and so we can both be right about the Marcus Smart over 100 steals a game.
I think we nailed that one on the head out of all of those.
All right, guys, you can follow Dante if you're not already on Twitter, at Dante on Deck. Dante, where can they find your shows and the new shows coming out, just if they did not catch it in the beginning?
So my YouTube channel, Dante on Deck, you can subscribe to me there. Or like we said earlier, Dante on Deck on Twitter, you can follow me. I'm always posting content, writing articles, posting my new video podcast, Hoops Caviar and Chasing Banners. So you can follow me there and you can see all Celtics content I'll be posting up until the season starts. And I can't wait for the season to start, man. It's kind of like free agency is awesome and everything, but we're kind of like at a point now where I'm just waiting for basketball to come back. Yep. So I'm counting down for those days.
I'm right there with you. It's tough, but we're going to get there and it's going to be an awesome season. No doubt.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right, guys, hopefully you enjoyed that segment with Dante. Dante is an awesome guy. If you're not following him on Twitter, make sure you are at Dante on Deck. And if you did enjoy this episode, if you enjoyed him and I working together, make sure to let us know on Twitter. Mention us both, and we'll definitely try and do our best to jump on podcast episodes and jump on a piece of content with each other more in the future, because this was a highly requested episode. So please make sure you're letting us know. Do not be a stranger. If you are listening to this podcast, if it's your first time here, just a little backstory. We go live every single Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We talk Celtics, we talk NBA, we talk anything. Hell, we got on a rant about how hot it's been lately last Tuesday. So we also have these bonus episodes, which is what you just listened to, which are more, stagnant podcast, normal format type episodes, not live. You can't interact real time or anything like that. So make sure you are tuning into the live shows, but honestly, I didn't think these bonus episodes would be as successful as they are. The numbers are phenomenal, and really, it's like I created more work for myself by doing one bonus episode, because then you guys definitely wanted more, but hey, whatever. I didn't try to create more work for myself, but it definitely is reaching an audience, which is awesome. Really cool. Thank you to you guys. If you are listening, make sure you're subscribing on iTunes, or if you're on Spotify, following, or wherever you're listening to your podcast right now, please take 2 seconds and click that subscribe button or follow or whatever you have to do. And share it with someone else, because the more we grow this, the more you're involved, the bigger the Unleashed Army get, the better these episodes will be, the more access we'll have and everything like that. So it'll just be a better production in the long run. So make sure you are joining the Unleashed Army. And tune into the live show at 6:30 p.m. FGuyBoston on Twitter. We're also on Periscope there, so make sure you tune in. And if you're enjoying these bonus episodes, especially this one, particularly with me and Dante, make sure to let us know. Peace out, guys.